Shabbos Daf Nun Tes. So we'd asked the question earlier on in Chesamud Beis, why does a bell stay tamei even when it doesn't have a clapper? And Rava and Rabbi Yossi bar Reb Chanina had answered that it's going to stay tamei because it can still be struck against a pot and it can still make noise. However, Rabbi Yochanan brings a different answer. He says that since it can be used to give water to a child, we see that it's still functional and therefore it's going to retain its susceptibility to tamei and stay tamei. However, we have a brisa that says v'chula kli asher yeshev alav, any utensil or vessel that the Zav sits on will become Tamei. So this is teaching that if a Zav turns over a barrel, for example, to sit on it, then that's not going to become Tamei because it only applies to utensil or a vessel for that is made for sitting, because people will just say, you know, get off. It's not really something that he's meant to sit on, so therefore we don't say that that could become Tamei. Rabbi Lazar says that in the case of a Zav, that's when we apply the whole idea of somebody will come and say to get off, meaning that only something which is meant for sitting will become tameh. However, by a corpse tumah, if a utensil becomes tameh from a dead body, it's going to stay tameh even if it's now been changed and it's not used for its original function, as long as it still has a use. Rabbi Yochanan says even a utensil which has become tameh from a corpse is going to lose its susceptibility to tumah or lose its tumah when it can't be used for its original purpose. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yochanan, when something is not used for its original purpose anymore, it's not going to stay tamei. So if that's true, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why is the bell without a clapper going to be tamei? Granted, it could have another function of being used to serve water to a kid, but it's not its original purpose. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a big problem. So my answer is, yeah, you should switch the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yossi bar Reb Chanina. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that a bell without a clapper is going to stay tamei because you can use it to strike against a pot, so it still has some semblance of its original function. So why, the Gemara wants to know, are we reversing this opinion and switching this opinion? Why don't we switch the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan and our Braisa, which seems to conflict with our other opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, right? Why are we not switching that opinion? So the reason we want to keep it this way and switch the earlier answers between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina is because we have a Mishnah which says that a metal shoe of an animal can become tamei. The Gemara is analyzing this. Why? What's its use? Rava says it's because you could drink water out of it. Reb Chanina says it's because you can use it to anoint oil with the shoe. And Rabbi Yochanan says it's because you could put it on your feet to protect your feet from thorns and things like that. So we see from here that Rabbi Yochanan only says that the shoe is going to stay tamei when it's being used in a way which resembles its original function. So what's the difference, the Gemara wants to know, between Rav and Reb Chanina? The Gemara answers, if the shoe is disgusting, according to Rav, it will not be tamei because you're not going to use it to drink out of, so it has no use. According to Reb Chanina, it will become tamei because you can still use it for anointing oil. So what's the difference between Reb Yochanan and Reb Chanina? In the case, the Gemara answers, it's a case where the shoe is heavy. According to Reb Yochanan, it's not going to be able to become tamei. It's not going to stay tamei because you can't walk with it. If it's so heavy, you're not going to use it for that. But according to Reb Chanina, it's going to become tamei. It can become tamei because you could still use it for anointing oil. The Mishnah had said that women can't go out with a city of gold. What is that? Rabbi Yochanan explains it's a golden ornament which has an engraving on it of the city of Yerushalayim, of Jerusalem, which is just like what Rabbi Akiva gave to his wife. We have a brisa that Rabbi Meir says that women cannot go out with this city of gold. However, if they did, they would have to bring a karban chata. So we see from here, according to Rav Meir, it's an iser de oraisa. The Chachamim say they can't go out with the city of gold, but if they did, they would not have to bring a karban chatas. And Rabbi Elazar says that they can go out in general. It's totally fine to go out with the city of gold. So what's this argument here? So as we noted earlier, Rav Meir holds that the city of gold is going to be a burden, not an ornament, and that's why it's going to be a de oraisa. There's not a piece of jewelry, according to Rav Meir. Chachamim say, no, this is really an ornament, and we have the whole Gzeira Dirabanan, lest the woman come and she's going to take it off to show her friends, and she might carry it. Rabbi Elazar says that since only the wealthy people would wear this city of gold because it was very expensive, we're not worried that the wealthy women are going to take it off to show it to their friends because they're, you know, kind of above that, I guess. And therefore, even though it is an ornament, there's no reason to make a gzera here. So the Gemara is now going to discuss a tiara, wearing a tiara on Shabbos. Rav says that women can't go out with it. Shmuel says that women can go out with it. And now the Gemara is going to analyze this. Regarding the case of a tiara, which is made from a hammered plate of metal, both Rav and Shmuel would agree that is not allowed for women to go out with it. However, in the case of a tiara, which is made out of fabric and they have gold and jewels kind of studded to it, stuck to it, Rav says that's not allowed because the gold and jewels in it are significant enough that women are going to want to take it off and show it to their friends. Shmuel says that's allowed because the fabric is the main part, and a woman's not just going to take it off to show her friends random pieces of fabric. However, if Ashi teaches a little more leniently, he says that everyone agrees, both Rav and Shmuel agree, that when it's made out of fabric, that's allowed. The argument is by the hammered metal plate. Rav says it's not allowed because a woman is going to show it to her friends. Shmuel says it is allowed because the only people that wear these plates of metal which are hammered out into tiaras are only the rich women, and they're not going to take it off to show it off to their friends. Reb Shmuel Bar Bar Chana said to Reb Yosef, you taught us in Rav's name that a tiara is allowed, and this has to be going like Rav Ashi. We see from here Reb Yosef goes like Rav Ashi because only Rav Ashi has a case where Rav allows the tiara. So if Reb Yosef is saying that Rav allows the tiara, then that must be going like Rav Ashi, who does have a case where Rav allows the tiara. The Rabbanan said to Rav, there was a great and tall man who was limping, and he came from Neharda in Israel, and he said that a tiara is allowed on Shabbos. Rav said, oh, that must be Levi because he's tall and he limps. And this shows me that Rav Afis must have died. Rav Afis was the previous Rosh Yeshiva, the head of the yeshiva in Narda. And I know that he died because Rav Chanina has now taken over as the Rosh Yeshiva, clearly. And Levi is now here because Rav Chanina and Levi used to learn together. So now Levi doesn't have someone to learn with, so he came to Bavel to find a new person to learn with. So the Gemara says maybe Reb Chanina is the one who died, and that's why Levi left, to find a new chavrusa, a new person to learn with. However, we answer back that if that's true, Levi wouldn't have left because he would have stayed to learn under Reb Afis, and Reb Chanina would not have been able, it couldn't have been that he died because Rebbe said that he'd one day be the Rosh Hashiva, and if Rebbe said it, it would have had to come true. So we see from here these two things, that Reb Chanina could not have died. So Levi taught in Neharda that a tiara is allowed on Shabbos, and then 24 tiaras were worn on Shabbos. Rabbi Bar Avua taught in Mechoza that tiaras were allowed on Shabbos, and 18 tiaras were worn just from one block. So we see that Mechoza was much wealthier. If they had just one block, was able to produce, the women in one block were able to afford a tiara, almost the same amount of tiaras in all of the city of Narda. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that an ornate belt is allowed to be worn on Shabbos. So some say this is talking about a fabric belt, and Rav Safra explains that it's allowed, just like you could wear a cloak which is decorated with gold. However, some say that this belt is one that's made out of hammered gold, and Rav Safra says it's allowed just like you can wear a golden belt, just like the king can wear his golden belt. Ravina asks Rav Ashi, if you're wearing this ornate belt on top of a regular belt, are you allowed to go out with that on Shabbos? And Rav Ashi answers back that this is just putting the ornate belt on top of another belt. That's not actually considered wearing, that's considered carrying, and it's going to be usur. Rav Ashi says regarding a corset, if it has ties, then it's allowed to be worn outside on Shabbos. If it doesn't have ties, you cannot wear it outside on Shabbos. The Mishnah had said that you can't go out with a katla. What is that? The Gemara answers it's an ornate bib which would be used to protect the clothes and catch crumbs and stuff like that, so the clothes wouldn't get dirty. The Mishnah says you can't go out with rings. The Gemara explains that's only nose rings, but in the case of earrings, those would be allowed. The Mishnah says that women can't go out with a ring that doesn't have a signet. So from the fact that the Mishnah is talking about Dirabanan things that are usher on a Dirabanan level, and we see that a ring without a signet is not allowed, we can infer that a ring with a signet is going to be an Isser de Oraisa. So we see from here that a ring is not considered an ornament, it's not considered jewelry, because it's not allowed. However, we have a Mishnah that says these ornaments of women can become tame, chokers, earrings, rings, whether they have signets or not, and nose rings. So we see from here that a ring, even with or without a signet, is considered an ornament. So Reb Zera brings an answer from a brisa that rings of metal with almug signets can become tame. An almug ring with a metal signet cannot become tame. Reb Nechemya argues that an almug ring, almug is a type of wood, by the way, an almug ring with a metal signet can become tame, because Reb Nechemya holds that a ring is decided if a ring can become tummy or not based on its signet. So in the case of a wood ring with a metal signet, since the signet is made of metal and metal can become tummy, then it's all going to go based on the signet. And that's why he says that a wood ring with a metal signet can become tummy. Likewise, a yoke is determined, its tumma susceptibility is determined by its pegs. A display board is determined by its nails. A ladder by its rungs. A balance scale by its chains. However, the Chachamim say that everything goes by, in all these cases, it always always goes by the thing which is supporting it. And the reason, and what that means is that's why by the ring, since the ring is the main part of the ring, then if the ring is made out of metal, even if it has a wooden signet, since the metal of the ring can become tameh, then the entire thing can become tameh. So what Reb Zeira is trying to say is the Mishnah that says that a signet ring is not considered an ornament is going like Reb Nechemya, because he holds that everything goes by the signet. And since women would not use that signet, it's considered a burden and not considered jewelry because we look at it based on the signet. However, the Mishnah, which says that a signet ring is considered an ornament, is going like the Chum because they base it on the ring. And obviously we know women wear rings, and therefore it's not going to be considered a burden, it's going to be considered jewelry. And Rava brings a different answer, that when the Mishnah had said earlier that a ring is considered tameh whether or not it has a signet or not, that's actually teaching a whole different halacha. It's teaching that a ring which has a signet is considered an ornament for men. A ring which doesn't have a signet is considered an ornament for women. However, it's not talking about whether or not a signet ring is an ornament in general. It's not talking about a ring which has a signet. It's only teaching that when it has no signet, it is considered an ornament for women. However, this Mishnah still agrees that a ring which has a signet would not be considered an ornament for women. This is only teaching that if it doesn't have a signet, then it's an ornament for women, and that agrees with the other Mishnah. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak brings a final answer that you can't compare Tumah to Shabbos, the halachos of Tumah to Shabbos, that by Tumah, it has to be a vessel. That's the qualifying factor if something can become tummy or not. And a signet ring is still considered a vessel, so whether or not it has a signet or not, it can become tummy. However, by Shabbos, the determining factor if you could go out with it or not is if it's a burden. It's not allowed to be a burden. If it doesn't have a seal, if the ring has no seal, it's considered an ornament, and that's why you would be on a Torah level allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. However, if it has a signet, then it's considered a burden, and that's why even on a Torah level, you would not be allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Shkayach.